Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Seems like 5 seconds ago, it was last Friday. We just gotten back from Bilderberg a few days previous, and it seemed like 5 seconds before that, it was the middle of Bilderberg, the Friday before last. But here we are, hurtling forward in the time-space continuum. It is Friday, the 15th day of June, 2012, and we are going to be here live for the next 3 hours. There's a video that is posted at Infowars.com of Luke Radowski nicely for 6.5 minutes following Rand Paul down the street, Senator Paul, asking him questions. And Paul, who in the past has stopped many times and talked to Luke and badmouthed the Bilderberg Group and the New World Order, just wouldn't talk to him. And so we're going to work on getting Luke Radowski popping in later in the third hour, maybe on the nightly news tonight. We have James Wesley Rawls joining us on the nightly news this evening. And something hit me when I was watching the video, because Luke was being very respectful, friendly. Paul's body language was very politician-esque. And then without saying anything, when I got here this morning, Darren McBreen walked up to me and he said, "Have you seen that video?" His body language, all of it looks just like how Barbara Boxer acts whenever Luke talks to her. And I said, yeah. And I had this epiphany this morning. We need to be nice to Rand Paul, because he is saying, you know, ban the drones, got to have warrants, don't have the military operating domestically, states' rights, all these good things, Second Amendment. Because if we are too mean to Rand Paul, and by the way, Luke wasn't, I'm realizing that he's the type that will drive him into the arms of the emperor. You know, I mean, if you're too mean to him, that will drive him into the arms of the system. But definitely he's listening too much to the mainline political advisors, and we need to keep the Pauls. I mean, because even if Rand Paul's not perfect and endorses Mitt Romney, he's a lot better than other people. And see, I get that's the same political idea of, well, hey, let's endorse Mitt Romney. I mean, you know, he's not Obama. No, it's not the same. We understand that's bad. It's upsetting. I've now had a week. This stuff broke last Thursday night, so over a week. But I learned about it Friday morning, so it's been a week. I've had time to cogitate and kind of mull it over. And let's just not go crazy on Rand, because I started seeing comments at Infowars.com, DailyPaul.com, and on YouTube without even looking, because I just kind of scan over them, saying, oh, he voted for the NDAA. How dare him? And boy, Luke should bring that up, and Alex needs to bring this up. And I went, wait a minute, he voted against the NDAA twice. So I went to thomas.loc.gov. And I typed in the bill number, and he was only one. I actually printed it off here. Of 7 people that voted against it both times in the Senate. So now it's entering this phase, because people are so upset, and I understand why, of the system being able to inject disinfo against the Pauls that never stuck, that is now sticking. Rand Paul voted against the NDAA. Okay, and Ron Paul, right after 9/11, authorizing force to go after bin Laden when almost no one but myself was questioning the official story. You can't blame Ron Paul for that. Saying, okay, I vote for force to go after bin Laden. Then he was against the Afghan-Iraq wars and all that. So the spin that Ron Paul's pro-war, too, it's a bunch of baloney. He would have been much more popular back in 08 if he'd have gone with all that. So we got to be careful here. And I know I got emotional and got angry, and I've seen a lot of bad stuff out of the whole Paul Inc. camp. But that doesn't mean they're the enemy. They're our friends, and we don't want this to go too far. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Extremely important, as it is every day, but it gets more important as we get deeper into global tyranny. Very important Friday edition here. We're going to have open phones. We're also going to have some breaking news here dealing with secret nuclear reactors in Austin, Texas, and reports of illegal dumping of that material, including where it is reportedly deposited. This is big information, and it deals with this entire country, this entire world. Governments, universities everywhere, just bury it under the universities, bury it out in the middle of cow pastures, and it's part of this craziness that's going on. Now, I want to show people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, obviously, if you're listening on the radio, you can just go there, the top of the Drudge Report, and couldn't say it better myself. This is what I thought this morning when I saw it before I even went to DrudgeReport.com or Infowars.com, for that matter, two places I obviously go multiple times every hour. Who needs Congress, Obama, to grant immunity to young illegals? Oh, it's for young people, so it's okay. And, of course, free federally funded supplemental tuition and welfare and everything else. Now, let's stop right there. I have Kurt Nimmo doing a report that'll be ready in the next few hours, where we go over the fact that Obama is becoming a dictator. And on this front, the Republicans have done almost nothing, because when somebody like Mitt Romney gets in, they're going to want those powers. Let's be clear. I oppose dictatorial activity under Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Hussein, Barry Sotero Obama, whatever his real name is, and under Mitt Romney. And it looks like the wind is turning against Mitt Romney, not just in conservatives and libertarians and some mainline liberals, but also in the power structure itself. And I would love to believe that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but what if it's an oncoming train? That said, Obama could launch a new war. He could stage a new terror attack. I mean, after all, a bunch of Democrats have, like Robert Shapiro, have written in the Financial Times of London that a new Oklahoma City or 9/11 would help him get reelected. I mean, they put out fundraising memos. Even Fox News has covered that. So Obama is the number one danger right now, because he is in power. He is in control of the national security apparatus, and that means the Chicago Mafia and the Bankster Mafia is in control of it as well. And I was just talking to Kurt Nimmo during the break. I said, I want you to do an article on this that ties into the story that's up on Drudge, that's also at Infowars.com, the whole cornucopia of stories, where they're not just saying they're going to legalize illegals. And by the way, that came out years ago. People in ICE went public and said, when we do these raids on meatpacking plants and things and arrest, you know, 1,000-plus illegals, almost every employee is illegal. You know, no citizen can even dare have a job. Because a lot of times the illegals, once they run a factory, won't even allow anybody else in there, won't work with them. That's actually come out in the newspapers. So it's a reverse discrimination. Plus, you can't even communicate with them in most cases. So, again, there's the issue. They won't even, I've seen articles in Los Angeles where Hispanics can't even get jobs if they don't speak good Spanish, working at restaurants or in janitorial things, just because there's the communication gap. But that's a side issue. The point is that you've got 30-plus million illegals in this country, not 11, not 14, not 20. Mexico has collapsed through the narco-terrorism and the globalist. They're collapsing this country as well. We're all victims of the New World Order operation. And Obama just says, hey, I'll do this by fiat. We told you years ago that was coming. This is just out in the open, because he shuts down power plants not owned by General Electric through executive fiat. Axelrod came out last week. In fact, guys, I just printed that article. Bring it in to me. Thank you. Came out and said, we'll just pass an amendment to restrict free speech. We'll make reporters have government-issued laptops. We'll have the bureaucracy say your kids can't do chores at home or on the farm or anywhere. We'll let your kids sue you. You can't spank them. It's the state totally waging war criminally on everyone. Now, here's the article. Obama plans attack on the First Amendment if reelected. Kurt Nemo. That came out last week, almost got no attention. He links to Axelrod's statements, all of it. Incredibly important article. And there it is. David Axelrod talks with John Hilleman, constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. I mean, this is just amazing. This is amazing, but it's not amazing when you know history and know that this is par for the course with tyrannies once they get out of control. So he shuts down power plants that aren't owned by his buddies outside of congressional law, carbon taxes without Congress, launches wars without congressional approval in Libya, and now supporting forces attacking, al-Qaeda forces attacking Assad in Syria, tells Congress when they're confronted repeatedly, tells them over and over and over again that we'll just basically do whatever we want and that Congress isn't over war-making anymore. And by the way, Congress isn't over the issuance of currency and credit, and we'll just do whatever we want. And the ATF is now issuing rules. They said last year, we're not just going to make people report more than two guns sold, even though they know they're already reported under NICS, outside of law. We're going to ban shotguns. Remember that rulemaking last year that got defeated because of backlash? But not in Congress. ATF, criminal organization, backed off. But it was in the news. They said most shotguns could have a clip added, and we say that's not for sporting function. That's the ATF says there's no right to self-defense under the Second Amendment. So there's no sporting function, so we're going to ban most shotguns. It was over 60% of shotguns. If they're bottom loading, you can just have, you know, single shot or, you know, double barrel that you crack open. Anything that you load into a tube, it's over. It can be converted to have a clip. No law, they just say. In fact, there's no law saying they can look at us with drones without warrants. There's no law saying the TSA can be out of their jurisdiction when they're not even police officers or sworn federal officers, groping people, something an FBI agent can't do, but they say they can do. It's all a lawlessness. It's a total lawlessness. I mean, Obama came out and said, I'm going to give waivers to my own healthcare law to 2,100-plus major companies that give me political contributions, but their competition, a factory, a restaurant, an auto dealership, their competition, they've got to get the healthcare. And again, who wrote that? Mitt Romney. Who's he work for? Big banks, big insurance companies. It's not socialist healthcare, as if that's bad enough. It's even worse. It's just a total fraud written by the insurance companies. So here we are as a society now. And so I've told Kurt, you know, go with the headline, basically, that Obama is a dictator. The office of the presidency is becoming a dictatorship because the special interests want it that way. And, I mean, a federal court ruled the NDAA is unconstitutional to kill or disappear citizens without due process, even domestically. And the feds have said, we don't care. That is the mafia that runs the executive and the bureaucracy. We're going to keep doing it. The courts are ignored. The Congress that makes the laws and funds the most powerful, it's ignored. And they want to be ignored. Congress wants to sit up there and be a bunch of paid prostitutes of the system. And it makes me want to throw up. Yeah, who needs Congress anymore in this country? Who needs it? Who needs any of it? If the system just decides it can do whatever it wants, the bureaucracy, the minions. You know, I thought about the fact that there are still running secret nuclear reactor. I mean, you can actually find a few articles, and I'm sending Aaron to the microfilm to dig up older ones, from the 80s admitting there's a reactor. My dad at UT, it was no secret in the 60s. They'll say, we're going to arrest you, and you're a conspiracy theorist if you ask about it now. They've got two reactors up north at the J.J. Pickle Center. They don't deny that, but no one knows about it. Literally one out of 1,000 people might, where I live. And I'm talking to a fellow whose great-grandfather, until 1970, was the head of all of the facilities at the University of Texas at Austin, biggest campus in the world. And we go out there, and there's all the walled-up concrete areas on the state preserve. That's exactly where they've caught other governments and universities hiding stuff as in caves because nobody wants it in their backyard. And this has been out now for over a day. We first reported on it some Thursday night, then yesterday. The reports at Infowars.com, linked in red. In fact, I'll pull up Infowars.com in front of me to give you the actual headline. And I bet unless people make a big noise about this, there won't be an investigation. You know why? Because I believe my source. I know about the reactors. I know about others doing this. I know about all the weird activity and how it's fenced in over there, but the other preserves aren't. This is exactly how government operates. In fact, the word is Bergstrom's got nuclear garbage. It used to be the big shack base. You know what all these plants from Japan to Europe to the United States, they store the rods now on top of the reactors. That's what happened to Fukushima. Remember what happened when the radiation levels went up and the tuna came in radioactive? They raised some isotopes to say they were safe at 100,000 times what they said they previously were. Others 25 times, 250 times. Just, oh, you know what? Radiation's up in the United States, blowing over from something much bigger than Chernobyl. Everything's fine. Because we raise the level. We say it's safe for the troops to use DU. Wasn't until 1990. We say it is. Yeah, there is there's Kurt Nemo's article. He actually had a blurb on it last week, but there it is, a new article out. Obama plans attack on First Amendment if reelected. Amazing story. And then under that, breaking massive nuclear secrets uncovered in Austin, Texas. And, you know, I've got an old Geiger counter and I need to get more like a spectrometer because it's way back there under the concrete up in those caves that go for miles. But, I mean, I'm going to go out there. I'm warning the system. I'm coming. And I'm getting into those caves. And I'm gonna get in there. I know that they might send a hit team after me. By the way, they've killed a lot of researchers that look into hidden nuke dumps. We're risking our life here, so pray for us. We need other people to look into what's reportedly over at Redbud. I hope his great-grandfather was mistaken, but this needs to be investigated right now. We'll be back.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
All right, you are a go.
Okay, coming up in the next segment, we're going to air part of a 19-minute news briefing that we first aired on the InfoWars Nightly News last night, breaking massive nuclear secret uncovered in Austin, Texas. And we've dug up the Austin American Statesman, the Associated Press, admitting that there was a nuclear reactor under UT and it's still there. But you don't find articles past the 80s. I'm actually getting emails from people saying there was never a reactor under UT. And people deny on the street that there's even a smaller and then a larger research reactor at the J.J. Pickle facility. That's on the UT website. I mean, it's just amazing that people can't even admit that's real. And then we have our source. By the way, there were cases, what they call it, the Silent Spring and other systems where, the fish from Austin all the way to the Gulf of Mexico got killed decades ago when something got released into it. Okay? And this all started 3 days ago when we KXAN reported on some type of cyclotron army weapon accelerator railgun system out of a UT research facility outside Austin blew up and shot shrapnel into a car going down a country road hundreds and hundreds of yards. Well, we looked at the property. The research facility looks like it's a half mile off the road. It was an explosion, but the army says it's contained, okay? I live here. My family's from here on my mother's side. There's underground bases. There's underground bases at Bergstrom. My dad was taking physics at UT in the late 60s. He went and saw the nuclear reactor. I have the Austin American Statesman. People can't even agree. That's maybe Three Mile Island doesn't exist. Maybe Fukushima doesn't exist. The big issue is one of our crew members piped up and said, oh, yeah, my great-grandfather was the head of UT facilities. And he said that they went with transportation and put it in these caves owned by the state over by the dam. We went over there and we're investigating it. That's what's really big. But who knows? Maybe I've got to get people to, maybe there's not a UT tower. Maybe there's no UT Longhorns. Maybe I don't exist. Maybe George Washington doesn't exist. I still go on shows and they go, oh, the drones are going to get us. There's going to be blimps. And I'm like, yeah, I told you 15 years ago. I told you that the executive branch is moving to just doing everything in fiat. Just, oh, we just feel like it. It's getting really, really, really crazy. I mean, look at this. U.S. and multinational military forces train in South Dakota's Black Hills. The Rapid City Journal reports it's urban warfare training, and I've been to countless of these drills where foreign troops train to take on the American people. It's called Golden Coyote Training, and they're recreating the stress of combat. And a mixture of civilian, tourist, and wildlife population soldiers encounter in war theaters such as Iraq and Afghanistan. They always say that, but if you actually read NLE09 and the other documents, and, well, they now admit they say they'll use foreign troops to, quote, deal with American terrorists. But then when it's announced in the local paper, it's, oh, we're just training to take on Al-Qaeda. Same folks they used to go into Syria and Libya. Pretty amazing. Oh, but look right here. Oh, they would never do this. Letting women enroll in Army Ranger School is a terrible idea, and they're already saying they're going to lower the standards. You won't have to carry a 40 or 60-pound pack on a hump over 40 miles. You don't have to. Women. And again, this is so they can make women slaves and draft them later. Won't matter. Soon it's all going to be robots, drones in the sky, UGVs on the ground. But here it is, the total social engineering of everything. Retired balloon sergeant, letting women enroll in Army Ranger School is a terrible idea. No, it's not. Not if you want to totally screw up the military ahead of making it all go drone and all go robot. The system doesn't want manhood anymore. That's why they put bisphenol A in the products. By the way, I remember 4 years ago they had the big melamine scare. And they executed a bunch of Chinese factory heads and thousands of people died. We had a bunch of deaths here, but when your kid, you know, when your year old comes in and dies of kidney failure and liver failure, they just, you know, say, oh, an infection. And that's in the news where they're now announcing that there is mercury in the products out of China, the baby formula. Hey, but so what? I mean, mercury. By the way, that's AFP, French News Agency. Well, that's okay. I mean, hell, mercury's good for you. I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
By the president and the Joint Chiefs in the war room at the Pentagon. And when they realize there is no possibility of recalling the wing, there will be only one course of action open. Total commitment. Mandrake, do you recall what Clemenceau once said about war?
No, I didn't think I knew, Senator. Yeah.
He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that, 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, war is too important to be left to politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for strategic thought.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
By the way, our main radio IT engineer, one of his friends of quite a while, called him on his cell phone during just the last break, and I talked to him. So we're going to bring him on right now. We've got a whistleblower email. It's whistleblowers@infowars.com. Whistleblowers@infowars.com. About nuclear waste dumps, biological, whatever the case is in your area, because they've built 36 of these in the last decade that have level 4 weapons in them in level 2 containment. That's mainstream news. They're building or have built or in the process of another 200. We had a railgun cyclotron blow up 4 days ago. It was in the news 3 days ago that the Department of Defense runs with DARPA at a UT facility outside Austin. Out by Bastrop, because I know two different people that work in it. And I know somebody who remotely, when he was here, he's at another university, even more advanced than UT. There's only one other, but who punched up and showed me the giant facilities full of monkeys and apes, like something out of a horror movie. And that's going on. People are worried about that because they do mess with Ebola, airborne, mousepox, monkeypox. I mean, stuff that some of this stuff's so deadly, it kills 97 to 98% of the mammals it comes in contact with. You know, whatever you engineer it for, rabbits, mice, humans, pigs. This is what we're dealing with. And it's just everywhere. But we're told Al-Qaeda is so scary, better chance of dying from a honeybee sting, then we need to give up all of our rights. So I'm going to get to part of this report that's up at Infowars.com, but I want to air it here for the radio audience. You can see the video at Infowars.com if you're a radio listener and want to see the actual documents. And Aaron Dykes was up here till late last night. He's coming in right now to add a bunch of links to the page that has the video, because we're getting emails and calls saying there is no old reactor under UT, even though I've got the Associated Press from the 1980s on it, even though my dad went in there as a physics student and was able to, you know, see it and watch some experiments. He wasn't high level, so he was only able to watch some things. Even though UT admits they've got a little reactor and a big reactor at the J.J. Pickle Center, people go, there's no reactor in Austin because there hasn't been articles on it since the 80s. They just say they do not exist. They do not exist. This is the incredible denial. We'll just call this fellow Mac. He's willing to use his whole name, but he's just, let's just say he's worked in the engineering and maintenance. He's fired one of the rail guns. Mac, it's on record that this is going on. We don't know about the dumping down on Redbud Trail, even though I believe that, you know, his great-grandfather was being accurate. He was the head of, you know, all of the major facilities there. Our source, Chris Odom, but briefly, before I get to this report, tell folks what you've witnessed working at the University of Texas with reactors, rail guns, other secret stuff.
Yeah, I was the head maintenance guy for the University of Texas there, and I had to go into these different buildings and do maintenance and stuff on them. And one of the buildings I had to go onto, and you can see it, the building clearly right there at Breaker and Burnett, it's that building right there on the corner. That's where the reactor is at inside there. You know, so we'd have to go in there and do maintenance and stuff, and we'd have to wear pins just to see if we got contaminated and how much we were contaminated after we were in there working on it. So it's there, and that was in the mid-90s when I worked there. So, and then the rail gun, you can see that building clearly, too, from Breaker Lane, or Burnett Road. It's that big blue metal building that sticks up there. They got the rail gun in there they shoot down into a hole with.
Well, they've got another one outside Austin. In fact, where was that on the map, guys, the exact location of that facility? I mean, it was in KXAN that blew up 4 days ago. Yeah, that's out in Leander. And, I mean, that hit a car. It looks like close to half a mile away and blew part of the building up. I mean, my point is we're just sitting on top of giant complex of tunnels and things.
Yeah, and then there's all kinds of research going on there, just, you know, different kind. But, you know, at the time, it was pretty neat. I got to see, you know, with my own eyes what goes on inside that thing and get to see the rail gun fire off. Got to see the hand model that they were working on. You know, just at that point, it was, you know, a whole room full of batteries just to make the thing work.
So, by the way, sir, did they tell you that was classified, that Department of Defense handheld railgun?
No.
By the way, that's highly classified. In fact, it looks just like the one I was told by the military that you see Schwarzenegger in a racer. You know, they've got, wow. So you've actually seen, they actually showed you the handheld railgun model.
Yes. It didn't quite look like the one that Arnold Schwarzenegger had, the one they have, you know. Of course, it's a prototype, so like I said, it has to have a whole room of batteries and stuff to work on. But you know how technology goes over the years. They know how to reduce the battery size and get more power out of it.
Incredible. Anything else you saw while doing maintenance for the University of Texas at Austin?
No, I've seen a bunch of stuff at the, you know, where they talk about million-year-old bones and stuff, so... But, you know, I don't believe anything's a million years old. God created everything, and that's the way I believe it. So,
well, they also create a fake debate between science to make Christians look dumb. So, yeah. So then the preachers say one thing, which really isn't even really in the Bible, and then becomes a huge debate. That's why all these globalists are coming out and genetic engineers are coming out and actually becoming religious, because now they've looked at it and they say there's no way, the majority of them now, I mean that's what Prometheus is all about. They're saying, okay, something made us, but it must be Martians, you know, it must be folks from Klan Dathu. because it certainly, you know, wasn't the guy in the sky. You know, those people are wrong, but yeah, Martians made us, because you look at the DNA, you look at all of it, and it's totally freaking the scientist out. It's clearly been designed.
Yeah, and I was there when they were pouring a joke on a new student that was trying to do some research on testing the bones and see how many, you know, how many million years up it was. And they were just joking.
Unfortunately, sir, your cell phone's breaking up. Can you hear me now, Mac? We lost him. You know, if he's willing to come in studio someday, we ought to get him in here with us. Okay, thank you, Mac. We'll have to get him back on. I don't think that was a conspiracy, probably just how bad cell phones are nowadays. Of course, those radiate your brain as well. Let's go ahead and go to part of this news piece. The whole thing's up on Infowars.com. And again, it's not just Austin, Texas. The Soviets would just throw old reactors in the ocean. I mean, it's in fact, there's a couple nukes from U.S. aircraft that crashed in the Atlantic. In fact, there's one right off Georgia. And they just leave it there, and they, oh, it's fine, it's just no big deal. Yeah, the cancer rates are exploding, but every radiation's good for you. Ann Coulter said the Japanese ought to be thankful for Fukushima. It's good for them. Yeah, absolutely. Just ask the million people that died in the 2 decades after Chernobyl. Here's part of the report breaking massive nuclear secrets uncovered in Austin, Texas. Here it is.
We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
From before the days of President Dwight D. Eisenhower, the military-industrial complex has dominated research at universities across the United States.
We must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite in laboratories and testing fields. The free university has experienced a revolution in the conduct of research.
There have been many disasters. In California in 1959, a large sodium reactor melted down, and many estimates show that it was over 70 times bigger than Three Mile Island and similar in effect to Chernobyl. But Americans weren't told about it for decades later.
The reactor problem in July of 1959 involved partial core meltdown was not publicly acknowledged until decades later.
That's why it's important to look at all the secret and covert infrastructure across the United States, including Austin, Texas, the site of 3 different covert nuclear reactors, and reports of huge caches of radioactive waste being hidden in the community of Austin, Texas. This is similar to large stockpiles that have been found in California and other states. No one wants the waste in their community, so government and universities tend to hide it. Alex Jones here with a breaking first report on the underground infrastructure that literally infest Austin, Texas, and surrounding areas. Bioweapons, rail guns, secret cyclotron facilities exploding just a few days ago, and big underground nuclear plants, research facilities, some of the biggest research facilities in the country, right here in Austin, and almost no newspaper articles about it. The articles we found online by the Statesman and others have been removed. Wikipedia has had the record of it expunged. But my father, when he was going to the University of Texas in the late 60s and was in departments that had access to the downtown reactor, saw it himself, worked on it as part of his physics class. Then in the late 80s, they built new, larger reactors in North Austin. We're going to show you both of those. But in our investigation of these secretive infrastructures the Department of Defense is controlling right here in Austin, but also in many other cities around the country, we discovered that hiding right under our nose, our own Chris Oden's great-grandfather had been the head superintendent of all the facilities for the University of Texas in Austin, the biggest campus in the world, and that up until 1970 when he retired, he told his great-grandson and family, for that matter, that the huge underground cave system right outside Austin had been used as a secret dumping ground. So, Chris, here in our office, tell folks exactly what your grandfather told you that they stored in there, and how big this cave system is.
My great-grandfather, Benny Ellis, had told me many times about a site on the western portion of Austin, what used to be the outside of the city limits, right off of Redbud Trail. I'd say just a couple of 100 yards south of where the dam is at the beginning of the old town lake, Lady Bird Lake, whatever they call it. And he told me for many years they had dumped barrels of chemical waste, heavy chests and containers of metal waste that he knew to be radioactive. He described them as containers with biohazard labels, radioactive labels. He had the responsibility of controlling transportation, and so in many cases, he was witness to such events.
And you said that your great-grandfather said that they would wall it off and that there were areas that were cemented, so they would put it back in crevices.
Over the years, even when looking at the cave entrance site, there are layers that are comprised of older concrete. You can see it's pitted and has aged, and then there have been newer installations where it's more polished, updated concrete. They've even disguised, or what I consider disguised, a portion of it as drainage for the entrance that goes underneath the cliff that's near it.
This is a big deal because we have this history, not just here, but in Russia, Japan, where they just store this stuff all over the place. They store it in warehouses illegally. Repeat what you told me on the radio earlier today about the fact that they started moving it out to Redbud because it had been in East Austin.
Yes, according to him, for many years they had been attempting to store wastes of many kind, dumping wastes of many kind, as well as simply storing heavy equipment used by the university out where what is today Dishfalk Field. It's a large baseball diamond. That part of Austin was East Austin, typically known for having a higher minority population. There was a lot of blowback from the community. And they, in turn, began to store it underground in those lesser-known facilities.
Hey, this is stored in the richest part of Austin now.
It was not at that time. It was city limits. There was very little development. It was country. It was, at that time...
Now, I've got friends that live out there, and there's old fishing shacks and things from the 30s and 40s, and that's all that was out there.
Right.
I mean, that was the countryside.
Exactly.
Now, before we get into the full report, that's just part one, because this just started developing yesterday. What's your overall view, and did your great-grandfather, who was the head of superintendent of facilities at UT for all those years, did he ever talk about the reactor underneath the presidential library?
He did describe what many had said was underneath the Robert Lee Memorial Building. He said that... there was more activity going on under the ground than above the ground. The campus was enormous, and the tunnels were vast. They were able to do things like transfer library books from one building to another underground when weather wouldn't permit. He even described times when personnel would use underground corridors instead of traveling above ground.
And it's not just Austin, Texas. There is secret infrastructure in every major city. But even my grandfather and family that lived here in Austin talked about the old SAC base that's now our international airport, Bergstrom. And they admit that the Hilton Hotel out there is the big SAC command building. Was that? And I've talked to family who's currently in the military who says, well, we can't talk about it. But yes, there's a big underground base there. There's railways connected to UT, the Capitol, and all the way out to Fort Hood, 60 miles away. I mean, it's amazing. The United States has spent more money than all other countries combined on defense, but also on COG, continuity of government. Can you imagine how big these underground bases are? I mean, I've been told it's just staggering, the whole giant secret government corporate infrastructure that's underground.
Despite the bedrock here, despite the manpower that would go into such a thing, I know I've been told of... underground bases, even located at the Capitol, that were installed during the Cold War simply for bomb shelters.
Chris Oden, thank you for taking time out to talk with us today. We're going to get into the full report right now from you guys on the street yesterday, Aaron Dykes, yourself, and Rob Jacobson running camera. And we're going to have a part two next week. This rabbit hole goes very, very deep. The fact that most Austinites don't even know that bioweapons are being developed in Austin, that if they got out, would kill over 90% of the people. Things like mouse.
All right.
things like airborne.
All right, the actual full report, once they're out in the field, is up at Infowars.com. And I noticed posted in that article, breaking massive nuclear secret uncovered in Austin, Texas, a commenter named Wells says, hey, history, it's no secret. And then has a University of Texas link explaining they were the first university to have a reactor on it and to teach nuclear engineering. Yeah, we know that. People are denying it, saying it's not true. But let me give you a little newsflash, Wells. I've been saying that over and over again. It's in the news, but rarely. And we've got a witness whose great-grandfather was the head of the entire operations at that time about them hiding nuclear waste, okay? That's the news. Let me say it again. Hiding nuclear waste, okay? Get up, stand up. If you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, all you got to do is look at the screen, and there is University of Texas at Austin Cockrell School of Engineering, Nuclear and Radiation Engineering Program, providing education, research, problem solving, and service in nuclear science and engineering. I can't even get people to admit there's nuclear reactors under the main campus and in North Austin. They don't just have one big one. They've got a little one, I've been told, as well up there at the J.J. Pickle thing, and rail guns and everything else you can imagine. One blew up earlier in the week. And it's got the history admitting they were the first in the country at a university, 1957. They admit radiation effects on materials is what they study, and then I guess they dump them in caves, you believe our sources. Stewardship of existing nuclear weapons. Oh, they have a stewardship of that. Managing existing radioactive waste. Oh, they really manage it well, let me tell you. Production methods of radioisotopes. Neutron activation analysis and prompt gamma activation analysis. Environmental chemistry, nuclear electrical power, health and physics applications, neutron imaging, non-proliferation, computational nuclear engineering. And it just goes on with all of it. And there's videos of the big reactor and it glowing blue and all the rest of it you can watch. Aaron's adding links to all this under the video that's red linked at Infowars.com for people living in absolute and total denial. My point is they got these in cities all over nobody knows about. They've got bioweapons labs just right here outside Austin. I have seen it. And they just had a railgun blow up last week. And I found an Associated Press article where they were admitting, well, it's in the larger video report, where they'd say, oh, 70% chance one of our level 4 bioweapon things will get out. And these are weaponized superviruses and bacteria. My point is, government and the universities and these people that are a bunch of mad scientists are the threat. I'm not afraid of science, but it's the way they do it. What's the number? 90% of reactors, we break that down in the report and show mainstream news articles, are leaking worldwide, not just here. They just don't care. The radiation eats through the metal, folks. They just don't care. Oh, let it leak. We've decided it's good. Oh, yeah, the engineering staff are all getting cancer. Ah, so what? It's only life. There's a craziness. Until 1990, they wouldn't let the troops use DU. Then they said, oh, use it. It's fine. It is a delusional, magical thinking is what's happening. The GMO, all of it. We are in so much trouble, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to get a handle on this. And I can't even get people to admit that there's underground tunnels. I get emails saying, oh, they're not that big of tunnels. There's no nukes under there. There's no... I'm like, hey, we have the former head of the entire, you know, UT system for maintenance saying that they hid stuff in the 60s up into the 70s in this state-owned cave right by this big state building facility, which is what feds and the states have been caught doing over and over again in other areas. We need to look into it. And I'll guarantee you, if anybody calls environmental groups or the police or whatever, they'll just say, there ain't no reactor. They won't even get to that point. There ain't no reactor. And the DU's good for you. They wouldn't have the troops use it if it won't get more than good. Look at this article.
I meant to get to this yesterday, the Weekly Standard. State Department video, visit America, it's easier than you think. Yeah, they're losing $40 billion a year, last number I saw, CNN reported. People won't come here because no one's ever had their genitals grabbed anywhere. No one's ever been screamed at and biometrically scanned, but the illegal aliens are all legalized. But you want to come here from England, you want to come here from South Africa, you want to come here, you know, as a doctor from China, whatever. Listen, you're going to get groped, your family's going to get abused. People are like, wow, I'm not getting near that country.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we only had him on for about 20 minutes last week. I want to get him on for about 40 minutes or so coming up in the next segment. Lord Monckton, Lord Christopher Monckton, the leading expert fighting the globalists when it comes to their fake environmental takeover. We're going to be speaking to him because he's getting ready to go down to the big Agenda 21, 20 years after event in South America, the same place that Maurice Strong said, we're going to shut down the West, we're going to shut down the industrial base to fully control people. Humans are bad. So, but radiation and GMO and overfishing are fine. Just tax people for carbon dioxide. So that's coming up. And we're going to open the phones up. In fact, I'll give you the number now because we'll talk about 20 minutes and then we'll take calls for Lord Monckton. If you'd like to speak to him coming up, specifically to our guest, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And again, we don't screen your calls, but then, you know, a couple times a week I say, hey, I have a guest on. It's about this subject. Agenda 21, New World Order, fake environmental movement. That's a pretty big area. And people inevitably call in and bring up something else. That's not happening when we take the calls for our guest, okay? I mean, it's a very wide area, but that's what he's on about, the big conference coming up. 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Now, if you go up to Infowars.com, we have got a lot of really important stories up there today. One of the biggest is that Obama plans an attack on the First Amendment if reelected. Also, the Associated Press is reporting what we already told you was already going on behind the scenes. They're just legalizing the illegals. They just give them, even if they're felons, they just give them a green card and then give them welfare. And they're not deporting people hardly at all anymore. And they got Border Patrol all the way up to San Antonio, 200 miles in, pulling citizens over and searching your vehicle for firearms and things. I mean, it is just lawlessness, total criminal lawlessness by the state. By the way, they're talking about Obama's secret weapon of legalizing weed. That is in the Atlantic Wire, kind of the pro-Obama camp. And there's also an Associated Press article. It's actually the Associated Press posted at the Atlantic. And they say, is legalizing weed Obama's secret weapon? He told all of the weed heads, he told them all that 4 years ago, and you say marijuana doesn't stunt your memory or whatever. Okay, then fine. You remember he said he was going to do that last time and you went and voted for him like suckers. And then he came in and threw the book at legal dispensaries and medical marijuana doctors, and now they've got the feds, AP again reports today, going after the people that rent legal marijuana dispensaries in California and other areas, their asset forfeiture seizing, just taking their property. And again, I am for decriminalization of drugs because when they're illegal, it just makes the price go up and that allows the big banks to launder the money. But it doesn't mean I have to be in love with it. I know some people that can smoke marijuana very successfully. I know others that are like zombies. There's a lot of people who, you know, don't have any motivation and just want to watch Oprah Winfrey all day and smoke pot. I think marijuana is not halfway as bad as alcohol. And again, I've never been really a fan of the way marijuana makes me feel. I don't want to go off on a big side issue, but you demystify it by decriminalizing it. Now, hemp, and most varieties have no THC in it, so it doesn't get you, quote, high. I call it get you low in most cases. But the point is, it is better for rope, better than cotton, better than polyester. That's why DuPont and others in the 30s They lobbied to make it illegal and enlisted as a narcotic, as Tarpley calls it. A friend with weed is a friend indeed. Me gold, when he attacks Ron Paul. It's hilarious, but people thought I was joking when I said he does that. I got him to do it on the show last week. Or was it Monday? Yeah, it was Monday. All right, we're going to go to break and go to Lord Christopher Monks on the other side of science and public policy. .org. I'm Alex Jones of PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com. And don't blink because your life will be over. Time is flying.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, blasting into another hour of attempting to awaken humanity to the neo-feudalistic lords of world government, the environmental fascist. And countering the environmental lords of fascism and tyranny is Lord Christopher Monckton. And he's going to be joining us here in just a moment. He's getting ready to go to the Rio Plus 20. We're talking about several decades after the big meeting that set in stone, Agenda 21, Maurice Strong, the world government. What size toilet you can have worldwide, set by the UN. What your carbon footprint can selectively be. What type of light bulbs you can have. And it lists everything that's not dangerous, like carbon dioxide is bad, ignores the overfishing, GMO, all the other serious issues that should be looked at. And I'm not even saying all GMO would be bad, but it's the back doors these eugenicists are putting into them that we've proven. So they're going to be meeting there, going away from, okay, carbon dioxide's bad, we're all going to flood and die day after tomorrow, to, okay, any change is abnormal, and we need to, if there's a cave bug or a warbler bird or a, that mattered if the polar bears are five times what they were 60 years ago, they can't swim, even though they're the greatest land swimming animal, you've got to pay global government money. And they want their Agenda 21 of the seas, Law of the Sea Treaty, which Obama says under executive order, he's now implementing, period. All of our rivers, major waterways that are not contiguous to the oceans, 76% of the world's covering is salt and then 1% freshwater, and they are saying they own it all. Doesn't matter if Congress doesn't sign on to this. Obama has announced, Associated Press, that they're going to give immunity to any illegal aliens they want. No judge, no jury, no Congress, no laws. They shut down power plants that aren't owned by General Electric and other insiders to make their stock and profits go up. They give thousands of waivers to big companies that give him money and give the Democrats money from socialist healthcare, globalist healthcare. I mean, this is total mafia government. And Lord Monckton is preparing, joins us via video Skype from London, to travel to Rio, the scene of the crime several decades ago, where they are attempting to re-coordinate their takeover. And as he said many times, we're exposing them, we're defeating them as frauds on that level, but they still have the government and the bureaucracy and the media. They're just moving forward. But Lord Monckton, what do you call this form of government where it's not even really socialist, you can call it fascist? I mean, it's just piratical, criminal, selectively enforced, absolute evil. I mean, what do you call this system of post-industrial, nihilistic fruitcakedom that they're setting up? What would you call it, Lord Christopher Monckton?
Well, you've given quite a few good names there, but it's really predatory totalitarianism. These are people who would have fitted in very well with the fascist regimes or communist regimes of old. They are the control freaks who want to run, as you've rightly said, every detail of our lives down to the last light bulb or bit of toilet paper. And they are all gathering in very large numbers in Rio de Janeiro this week. And they will be talking to one another and, of course, to the fawning media of the world who have fallen for this at every stage. But there's one very, very significant change, which I can report already, that's come out of this conference. And that is that they have now officially abandoned climate change as being the worst problem that faces humanity. They have now reasserted what was always the case before, which is that poverty is the worst problem facing humanity. And this is a very welcome sign that slowly but surely reality is beginning to break back in, even to these pointy heads.
Very well said. So what is the state of their operations? I mean, they're going ahead with banning Coca-Colas and popcorn and milk in New York. They're going ahead with green police harassing farmers, saying you can't have dust on your farm. I mean, I know that they're in trouble with the public and polls, but as you warned years ago when Copenhagen first broke, they don't care. They're just going forward.
Well, they'll count, of course, totalitarianism is very old. It goes back even to early imperial China, 500 years BC. The Chinese were talking of what they called the legalist outlook, and most governments tend to be, to some degree, legalist. In other words, they want to control things, they want to control you. And if they want to control absolutely every aspect of your life, then that's what we now call totalitarianism, and the Chinese would call it, and still do call it, legalism. Whereas you and I, Alex, are Confucians. That's the other side of the Chinese coin, going back to 500 years BC. And Confucianism is the more enlightened, open, democratic, libertarian, free market, come one, come all approach, which says we don't know best. It's the people that know best what's best for the people. It's not for the governing class to say that it knows best and then to impose savage regimes of excessive taxation and regulation to back up whatever the current taboos and shibboleths and fashions are. At the moment, it's the environment, because the left captured the environmental movement some years ago. My good friend, the late Eric Ellington, was one of the founders of Greenpeace. He said that he and many other founders had to leave after a year or two because they weren't political. And they didn't therefore know how to stop the entryism by the Marxists, who all piled across the Berlin Wall and straight into our environmental movement and, among other things, took over Greenpeace. So all the Marxists, all the totalitarians, all the fascists will all be in one place. And if someone were to drop a large bomb on it, you'd lose me, but you'd lose most of the pointy heads in the world at the same time. Very large numbers of them have gone there. They're holding a series of events and side events of the most improbable kind, but all of them involve bossing us around, imposing enormous taxes, and above all, this is their real aim, shutting down the West.
How do we defeat them? Why are you? Why is it important? I mean, obviously it's important, but why? You know, for new listeners, why is it important to go to Rio and cover what they're going to be doing?
Let's give a couple of examples. Before Copenhagen, the climate conference in Copenhagen in 2009, that's getting on 3 years ago, when they were going to try to impose, again, a world government treaty. They actually wrote a draft world government treaty. The word government appears in that treaty in two places in that context for the first time I've ever seen any treaty. Now, I exposed that treaty. I got hold of a copy in advance off an obscure UN website where they had hoped nobody would see it, but they would later be able to say, oh, it's been posted up there all the time when people got caught by surprise. Anyway, I got it out and publicized it. And within a week, the speech in which I publicized it had gone platinum on YouTube. It's the fastest YouTube platinum for any political speech. Likewise, when I went to the Durban Climate Conference just last December and revealed, among other things, that they were going to give legal rights to sue to Mother Earth. I kid you not, Mother Earth. They were going to reduce carbon dioxide concentration to half of what it is today, which would cause mass extinctions of plants, animals, and probably humans too. And they were also going to set up an international climate court to which people like you and me could be dragged for daring to raise perfectly proper scientific and economic questions about what the hard left have been proposing. And when I revealed the contents of that treaty, once again, that went viral all over the internet. And within a couple of days, WordPress, that publish 500,000 blog postings every day, told us that this blog posting by me, just telling people all the nonsensical things that were in this draft Durban agreement, had reached more people than any other one of the 500,000 blog postings that they had put out that day. They put out 500,000 blog postings on all subjects every day. Mine was number one because people want to know. what is being done in their name at these international conferences. And the left-wing media are in conspiracy with left-wing bureaucrats and governments and the UN to make absolutely sure that they don't get told. Now, if you're new to this and you think, what is he saying about a conspiracy? The fact is that unless I had been there to reveal the contents of that document, the main negotiating document of the Durban Climate Conference, nobody else, and I mean nobody else worldwide, would have bothered to tell their readers or viewers or listeners what was in that
document. That is an astounding point, Lord Monckton. And you've done this every year at these big events. You and folks that go with you are able to get information out, and then it goes viral that no one would have reported on because the lapdog media worldwide just goes along with whatever they're told by Ban Ki-moon.
That's right. They never ask a proper question. And it's uncanny, this sullen refusal simply to report what is actually happening. One doesn't mind that they all have a Marxist viewpoint. If that's what they want, they can have it. You can see the consequences of Marxism now in Europe. That kind of socialism, heavy state spending, heavy taxation, has now become so out of control that it is visibly failing. So if they want to subscribe to that, in a few years' time, everybody will be laughing at them and saying, well, there you are, that was the crisis of Marxism. Nobody now wants to go that way. But at the moment, they're still at it. They'll all be in Rio. They won't have any realization that the gravy train has finally tipped into the gulch and that they can't go on robbing the taxpayers blind because the taxpayers have run out of money. They can't go on borrowing because the more they borrow, the more they put themselves in hock to China. They can't go on doing that. So all this nonsense is soon going to have to stop. I regard it as very significant that they have now abandoned the notion that the supposed threat to the climate is the most serious problem humanity now faces. In the opening sentences of the current draft of the conclusions of the Rio conference, that has now been taken out and replaced, as I've said earlier, by a statement that poverty is the most serious threat. So it's very important. We are making...
You're right. Stay there. And of course, now poverty, you got to pay the UN taxes. But the UN says they want to make the third world poverty-stricken, post-industrial. Let's talk about your deep research into that straight ahead with Lord Monckton. Then your phone call. Stay with us. The crony monopoly men that are anti-free market seek a global dictatorship, organized evil, organized authoritarianism, as Lord Monckton of scienceandpublicpolicy.org, former top advisor to Margaret Thatcher, award-winning journalist. I won't go over it all. His bio is lengthy. And he is joining us from London right now. Okay, this is a short segment, and then we're going to come back and get into other points you think are important and take calls. But we're not overstating, and I know you break down these numbers, of what Copenhagen 3 years ago would have done to the third world if implemented. And they tried to sell that as, come on, you've got to love the black people especially, and the poor Asians and Latin Americans. Let us put this in place. But then the draft got leaked. They confirmed it was the draft. You helped do that. And it was right at double the cuts in the third world that would even be on the West. So they tried to sell it to them as, we'll cut off the energy to the West and give it to you. But they found out it was really a death sentence. And you look at all these, quote, environmentalists, to a man. They put out papers about too many people and get rid of the third world. Really hardcore racists, going back to Margaret Sanger, all of them. And I know you've studied this, Lord Monckton. Pose as liberals. They're not even really liberals. That's their cover. A real killer poses as a non-threatening, trendy chicken neck. Can you break down who these people are from fighting them for 30-plus years? And correct me if I'm wrong, that their plan is a death sentence to over a billion people in the third world when they sell us on it's for the poor. Give us world government. Pay the UN trillions for the poor. Give us the environmental straitjacket for the poor. Tell us what's really happening.
Well, here's the thing. If a nation wants to give money to the poor of other nations, it can do so directly. It doesn't need the UN for that. But the UN has realized it's increasingly hard to justify its existence. And so it has captured various international subjects, such as poverty, and they tried on the climate change thing, the Agenda 21 thing, to make themselves seem relevant and to allow themselves to continue to attract more money from governments. Privately, many of us here in Britain are thinking that even though Britain has one of the five permanent seats on the governing Security Council of the United Nations, we would actually be better off giving up that seat as long as we could leave the United Nations altogether and not either have to pay the billions every year it costs to belong or to be governed by the increasingly intrusive regulations and powers that this organization is trying to arrogate to itself. The people behind it essentially are the governing class worldwide, of which I am a member. But I'm one of those, rather like Margaret Thatcher, who doesn't think that it's our job to tell everybody around the world what to do, still less to extinguish poor people in the third world. Extinguishing poverty ought not to mean extinguishing the poor. It ought to mean making the poor better off, because it's only if they become more wealthy and more prosperous and at least have a basic standard of living that's acceptable, clean water, health, food, also freedom from disease, proper education, proper communications, and, of course, fossil fuel electricity. It's the cheapest kind of electricity, and that lifts people out of poverty faster than anything. It's only if you do lift them out of poverty that you bring poverty permanently to an end by ending overpopulation, because overpopulation is caused by poverty.
And they know that. The average person in the third world has about seven children. Five of them live on average. And the Royal Commission said that in 49. You industrialize, they have on average 1.3 children. And if these people all believe in overpopulation, then make them rich. But the globalists know their fight is to keep us poor. They're fighting wealth. They know that the normal state of humanity is to become more wealthy.
That's right. And this is the main target now of these Marxists or totalitarians or legalists, or call them what you will, but they're very, very unpleasant and ambitious people. They have a hatred of their fellow humans. Some of them have even talked of wiping out 6 billion of the present 7 billion human population.
Lord Monckton, stay there. Incredible. I want you to break down the numbers on this. You are one of the top experts on their plan. And absolutely, they hate everyone. They see someone successful, they hate it. They have a primal dominance, a twisted dominance, though. A true dominance wants to build everybody up. They want to destroy. We'll be back with Lord Monckton. Stay with us.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We're going back to Lord Monckton in a moment, and then we're going to go to your phone calls for the rest of the hour with the preeminent expert on the authoritarians using fake environmentalism as a pretext to take over. Well, they're not concerned about the troops using DU. They're not concerned about overfishing. They're not concerned about toxic waste dumping. It's all about carbon dioxide, or selectively saying this is endangered, that's endangered, to take your property. I've seen it firsthand in Central Texas, where they take people's property, some cases don't even pay them, and then build homes or shopping malls on it. And the former mayor makes the money off of it who helped take it. And the UN can't get, again, the Congress to do it, same in your country, your parliaments, so they're going in and taking over local cities. We'll talk about that in a moment with Lord Monckton of scienceandpublicpolicy.org. So much research and documentation right there on that site. Can't recommend it enough. Brief pit stop here. When I plug books, videos, t-shirts, water filters, it supports the broadcast, the news organization that we're trying to grow here. But it's also the best books, the best videos, the best t-shirts, the best water filters I found anywhere at incredibly discounted prices. InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Both of those URLs will take you to our shopping cart or link through at InfoWars.com. You can also call 888-253-3139. We have the best gravity-fed filters out there, side-by-side comparisons to the leading competitors. There's no comparison. Look at it for yourself. And we've got it at the lowest prices out there with a 10% off on top of it of Pro Pure. We have the Life Straw that's great for survival out in the field at the discounted prices with the Free Citizen Rulebook. All of it at InfoWarsShop.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. Also, we have the nightly news. It's even picked up by some cable systems now. It's been in beta for 9 months, but you can watch that, all my films and more, 9 years up and running at prisonplanet.tv, 15-day free trial at prisonplanet.tv. And we're now carrying out of print for a while, but back in print, Tragedy and Hope, The Globalists Admitting Their Crimes, and None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen with Larry Abraham from the 1970s, the book that really crystallized my awakening, back in print, available at InfoWars.com, discounted. Okay, going back to Lord Monckton. Lord Monckton, I want to finish up with their eugenics agenda. You were cut off by the break where you were talking about some of them want 6 billion of us dead. They want green fascism. You know, they want hot baths for themselves, but old ladies should go without. And we know who said that. I mean, this is a really scary group trying to sexy up feudalism. So break that down for us and then other tidbits that are on the radar screen, because I've been asking the questions and then we're going to calls.
What's happening here is that the world governing class has got out of hand. It's got used to the uniquely new ability to tax people with great certainty and to a very large proportion of their income. This makes government far more wealthy than ever it was under any communist country. And they're using their power and their wealth to increase that power and wealth still further. And they have come to realize that the biggest cost they now face is in looking after their own poor people and in making contributions to the poverty of others further afield. And it has occurred to some of them, it's really very straightforward, that the simplest thing to do would be to kill all those no-account poor people that don't matter, so that they themselves can be even richer still. This is the kind of childish thinking, and indeed very sinister thinking, that is now prevailing among the governing class. And it's dressed up behind this green fig leaf of environmentalism to make it sound acceptable to people who ought to know better. I had a pointy head email me just today saying that he is a prophet and he foresees that we won't see any climate trouble in the next 100 years. You know, they've kind of got that one. But it's going to be in 500 years' time, and he is the prophet of doom in 500 years' time. He knows perfectly well he'll be dead and the rest of us will be by then, so he can make whatever prophecies he likes, and it won't make any difference. This is the kind of pointy-headed stupidity that is now becoming all too commonplace among people who would previously have been properly educated in the Aristotelian canons of logic, in the Pythagorean canons of mathematics, in the Ciceronian and Periclean canons of politics, and they would have a better understanding of how not to be so cruelly stupid. Because the point is, but what these people are doing to the world is they are trying to destroy it. They say they're trying to save it and preserve it like some sort of museum piece in aspic. You only have to look at the record of extinctions in the past to see that this is quite a violent place because of the weather, because of the volcanoes, because of the meteorites, because the sun occasionally grows dim. All these things have major impacts down here. They have much greater impacts than anything we can do. And these have caused mass extinctions in the past. We now have the capacity to cause mass extinctions if we were to use widespread nuclear weapons, for instance. But by adding a little bit of carbon dioxide to the climate, we're not actually going to make very much difference apart from making things a lot more agreeable and warmer in places like Scotland.
And by the way, since you raised that, just to interrupt, Lord Monckton, since you brought up the sun, when you were at Copenhagen 3 years ago, really routing them and them had the police beat you up and all the rest of it, and of course that's they've gone after you at other events as well, and it's been caught on tape. Here's National Geographic, solar superstorms, how they could impact our high-tech world. And all the mainline scientists, as you know, say that the sun's the main driver. A child knows that. It's variations. But they had a vote, and the UN said, to counter you and others, that we vote that the sun has no effect. I mean, this is cuckoo. This is like saying the sun doesn't make the sun come up in the morning. I mean, this really shows their I guess it's not childlike authoritarianism. They're used to a population that just believes whatever they say. But how do they counter National Geographic? It even admits, and it's a big, you know, pro-eugenicist outfit, anti-human deal, that the sun's driving climate. I mean, it seems like are they letting reality in? I mean, why?
I think finally reality is beginning to break through. See, the left have made three rather big mistakes, perhaps strategic mistakes, in the last few years. First of all, they created the European Union as a communist, bureaucratic, centralist oligarchy, rather like the old Soviet Union in Russia. That has now failed, as all such communist systems are bound to fail, because the money to pay for it has run out. Then they switched onto this global warming bandwagon. That has now failed, which is why they've suddenly realized that they can no longer get away with saying to people that climate change is the worst problem the world faces, because it isn't. The worst problem the world faces is poverty. And getting the UN to do anything about poverty is completely hopeless. Money that goes to the UN tends to stay at the UN, paying for the lavish lifestyles of the people who run it. So the third mistake I think the left have made is to attempt to set up a global government without having a good reason to do so. They've tried to pretend that, first of all, global warming was the good reason. Then they tried to pretend that protecting the environment is a good reason. Neither of these is a good reason for a world government. And even if there were to be a world government, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again, then that government should only receive power by treaty from democratic nations, provided that that world government shall have been elected by the peoples of the states parties to the convention creating it, and they should not simply be self-appointed as they are now. Let the UN and the Law of the Sea Conference, you mentioned a few moments ago, and the World Bank and the IMF and all the plethora of international organizations that now make our life a misery prodigiously at our expense, let all of them either face election by the peoples of the world or be shut down. That's how I think we've now got to go, Alex. What we've got to do is we can stand on the sidelines and moan, or we can do something about it. What I think we now need is a new global constitution that says that any power transferred to any supranational or global institution shall only be transferred from elected hands in individual nation states to elected hands in these international organizations. No international organization should be allowed to have any fiscal or legislative power, any power over our lives at all.
And you know why that's smart, obviously. I mean, explain to people, Lord Monckton, why that's so intelligent. Because then you counter their whole, oh, we need an international debating society. Okay, you're dictatorial. You're making 83% of UK laws, and the UK's not even, you know, as you've exposed. And I just saw a national poll where over 80%, you know, won out now. I saw another right at 80%. When you really point out to people this is authoritarian world government, it's not just world government, and say, okay, let's get rid of your authoritarian one and let's debate a elected one. Then you've taken the wind out of their sails.
That's exactly it. The left have always been terrified of democracy, because they know that in the end, democracy will not allow the establishment of these dictatorial entities, or even if they allow it to be established, as we made the mistake of doing with the EU. Now it's all falling apart under the weight of its own stupidity and expense and the greed of the politicians and bureaucrats that run it. And, you know, there are now 30,000 bureaucrats in the EU. Heaven knows what they all do, but every single one of them has a diplomatic passport, at least $100,000 a year, free motor cars, free travel, free perks, diplomatic immunity, you name it, they've
got. Oh, yeah, let me bring that up. I was about, how can Legrand, the head of the IMF, who has diplomatic immunity, tax exempt under EU rules, all this that she helped make, how can she say Greece needs to pay more to bail out the bankers when she's exempt from those taxes? I mean, what a disconnected Marie Antoinette let them eat cake moment.
Well, that is very well put again, Alex, because the governing class has become predatory. It's become greedy. It's like a wolf taking chunks out of a passing child. Little Red Riding Hood is losing and the wolf is winning, if you like. And this greed on the part of the governing class should never be underestimated. I saw this when I worked at 10 Downing Street. Ministers jockeying to see who could get the nicest grace and favour resident, who could get the largest ministerial car, who could get the best ministerial paintings hung in their office. This kind of terrible greed at the expense of the general taxpayer. And that is really why poverty continues to exist in the West. It's because the super rich, and that is in fact the governing class, not any longer the commercial class, this super rich governing class now treats the people with such absolute contempt. And so what I think we now need is, and I'm gradually assembling this, a group of fine minds internationally, people who believe in the principles that are so wonderfully enshrined in the United States Constitution, and say, right, we now need to have a similar constitution for the world as a whole, so that if and when any further powers are transferred from nation states to supranational or global institutions, they will be transferred to institutions which respect the principles of that U.S. Constitution, not just democracy, but also the separation of powers.
Well, so you'd call that 1776 worldwide. Let me bring up one more point going back to National Geographic, page 44 in the current issue, Lord Mock. Then we're going to go to calls. Perhaps you can stay a bit into the next hours. We have time to get to all of them because we got you on a bit late. My fault today. They show on page 44, tracking a stormy sun, and they show NASA from the first measurements in the mid-1950s that were very scientific of the sun, these solar maximums and minimums, and they go on to admit it affects the space weather, the earth weather, and they have the gauge. The biggest one was in 1989. We've seen another big spike in the sun as of late that you've covered, and then they're predicting the next big spike coming soon. But this, the UN voted. They said that the sun doesn't do anything to the earth and it doesn't change. And, I mean, could I pay Al Gore a carbon indulgence, Lord Monckton? And could maybe he make the sun behave itself? I mean, is my SUV, because I'm going to be honest, I got a big truck and an SUV. I mean, are those causing the sun to do this? Am I bad? Could I fund the UN killing some black people? Would that make this okay?
Well, now that you've made your confession on the air, your sins of omission are hereby forgiven.
Good, thank you.
Quite the point, really, is, of course, that the sun is the dominant driver of our climate. It's where the warmth in global warming comes from in the first place. And as you rightly say, the 2001, I think it was, no, 2007, fourth assessment report of the UN's climate panel, this multi-thousand page piece of garbage they come up with every few years, they voted, this was government representatives, they weren't even scientists, they voted that with 90% certainty, it was we and not the sun that had the most influence on the climate. China had said there should be no such vote at all. Some people said there should be 95% certainty. And, of course, you can't put...
perhaps they should vote that gravity doesn't exist, and if they voted, we would suddenly float off the Earth.
Well, that's right. All they've got to do is pass a vote, and they can change signs. It's rather like trying to tell Galileo that the Earth doesn't go around the sun. You know, this kind of thing hasn't worked in the past. It isn't going to work now. What is, I think, astonishing to me is that you and I, Alex, were brought up in the age of reason and enlightenment, in which science was supposed to be free from these kind of mindless and stupid political or religious beliefs. And now here we are, back into a religious belief that global warming is terrible.
And now, tell folks about Durban. They actually said now it's just Mother Gaia. They're going right to the worship like Avatar.
they're going right. It's a very atavistic approach, if you like. They're going back to the Tibetan Buddhism, which regards the largest mountain in the world, Mount Everest, as Tsumu Langma, which means the goddess Mother Earth. And they're going back to this, frankly, pre-medieval, prehistoric, tribalist sort of shamanic religion rather than science. And it's a very, very strange thing. And this, mark my words, Alex, this is what's going to bring the left down internationally, because you can politicize just about everything you touch in the way that the left so poisonously does. The one thing you can't politicize is scientific truth. Either it is so that we're going to see rapid warming, or it isn't so. And within a few years, it will become all too apparent to everybody
yes.
that it is.
So they've committed the Piltdown Man sin. They've taken a monkey bone or an ape bone and put a pig jaw in it, and they've been found out, and now no one's going to believe anything they say.
No, exactly. The jawbone of an ass and a pig's ear have been combined to make goodness knows what monster. But they are, the left is now on the way out. They don't realize it yet. They think they're dominant throughout politics. They control the media. They make fun of the likes of you and me. But it is they who are now finished, because they've made this colossal mistake of climbing onto the climate bandwagon just as all the wheels were falling off. They've tried to politicize science itself, and like it or not, you can't do that.
All right, well, we're going to go to break here and maybe keep you 15 minutes the next hour, because I know there's people really chomping to talk to you. Chris, Richard, John, Mike, Ronnie, we're going to go to all of you. They all want to talk about Agenda 21, other questions there. Actually, Chris has a question, a reactor question, but these are questions for Lord Moncton, like I told folks. 800-259-9231. Yes, we have several reactors here in Austin. And the problem is they don't upkeep them, and then the word is they've been hiding waste around places. So I certainly don't want to be glowing green. So we'll be right back with Lord Moncton.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost.
But you gotta know you've been taken everybody over by tyrants before you can start reversing things. Lord Moncton's our guest. Let's go to your phone calls. We're gonna go to Mike, Richard, John, and many others. Mike in Mass, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, how you doing today, Alex?
Pretty good.
I was wondering, first of all, with Lord Moncton, I was listening to, I think it was like an NPR affiliate. They had some crazy lady on talking about how she related the Earth, saying that it's a living, breathing creature, and evidenced by the changing seasons. And she actually advocated that we need to go through the United Nations to create a crime that is above crimes of genocide. For crimes against the Earth, and we need to prosecute.
Oh no, 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 no! That was pushed at South Africa, Lord Moncton.
Yes, you're quite right, and there are a lot of people in the environmental movement who want to do this, who have been fooled by James Lovelock's so-called Gaia hypothesis. And of course, the reason why the seasons come and go is very well understood. It is because the Earth's axis is at an angle to the plane of the ecliptic in which it orbits. And therefore, at one moment, the North Pole is closer to the sun, the next moment, the South Pole is, and at the equinoxes, it's halfway in between. And that is what makes the seasons come
and go. That's preposterous. Everybody knows there's blood inside the Earth, and it's actually a big turtle.
Well, there you are, exactly. And it's held up on the back of a huge man. Yes, no, I mean, this is the extraordinary thing, is that we're now going back to a sort of pathetic medieval or even prehistoric tribal witch doctor kind of religion replacing science. And you get all of this gibberish about how the Earth is hurting. No, it isn't. The Earth is more than capable of dealing with us. And if we are sensible and look after it in a common sense way, as most Western countries have long done, then the Earth will not come to any harm at all.
That's right. Let's go back to the caller. Sir, I mean, what else did this woman say? Because, I mean, I've seen it, I hear it, it's everywhere. I mean, humans have to be dealt with. Gaia needs a little snack of blood.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Alex. it was really ridiculous. They kind of just gave her free range to talk about this stuff for about 20 to 30 minutes straight. And she was saying that, you know, we need to go through the United Nations, that that we're killing the earth, that it's worse than killing, that it's worse than genocide, it's worse than a mass extermination, that carbon emissions are bad, having kids are bad, polluting is bad, everything's bad. Basically, humans are evil, and they need to be dealt with. So,
well, no, let me expand on that. I appreciate your points because I've seen and read that similar sentiment, and then they ignore real environmental issues just to say give world government power. But I wanted to get Lord Monckton's comment on that. I mean, you know, the caller is not exaggerating, and I've seen UN statements like in their biological diversity assessment 96, not the one on the web, but the actual copy I have in my film Road to Tyranny, the full text. They say ancient societies knew how to deal with overpopulation to not crush the breast of Mother Earth. They had human sacrifice, and that's what ancients did. They said there's too many of us. Take him up to the top of the pyramid. Cut his heart out. Lord Monckton.
Yeah, this is exactly what they're now advocating again. I find it astonishing, this return to a kind of childish primitivism. It's an enormous backward step for humankind, but the great thing is that if we watch the left taking this step, and it is all on the left, nobody on the right is saying these half-baked things, then gradually people will realize that they're no longer dealing with a rational political force. They're dealing with maniacs who hate people. They hate the Earth, in fact. They would love to do harm to it by denying it the carbon dioxide, after all, which is the food of plants.
Unbelievable. Back in 60 seconds. Another hour straight ahead, and then a huge news blitz and more calls. Believe me, there's a lot of it straight ahead. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, short segment here, long segment coming up with Lord Monckton. Your phone calls, and then a big news blitz of a lot of really important news. Obama now announces he doesn't even need Congress on immigration. He'll just legalize the illegals. That's Associated Press. That's called dictatorship. Let's go ahead and talk to who's up next here. We just talked to Mike in MASH. We're going to move along now to Richard in Alberta, Canada. You're on the air with Lord Monckton. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Hey.
I'd like to ask Lord Monckton a few questions, but first, if I might, I would like to take a time to a brief overview on how Agenda 21 is being implemented in Canada here. And recently, Alberta, and the province where I'm from, we just elected former UN bureaucrat and New World Order operative Alison Redford as our premier. She is pushing through a number of bills, including the Land Stewardship Act, which robs Albertans of our natural property rights so they can take
our land. Oh, yeah. And by the way, Australia did this and took half of the farmland off limits. They take half the land and set it aside, or you can pay huge taxes on it. And it's just devastating, devastating these people. Lord Monckton, you've been to Australia a bunch. I'm going to go back to your caller, but I mean, he's not joking about these land grabs. Give us your take on that.
Well, this is a growing problem in Australia. I met one of the people who had his land grabbed, and he and his family had been farming there quite peaceably for several generations. Then along comes the state government one day and says, right, we're confiscating your land because we need it for a carbon sink so that we can comply with our obligations under the treaty which Kevin Rudd signed, you know, one of the many global warming.
Sounds like Mao Zedong, and I've seen the polls there, over 80% are against it, but the authoritarians don't care.
This is exactly it. They now regard everything and everybody's property as their own to do what they like with. They want to take it away from people and put it in the hands of some sort of environmental management committee. Increasingly, this is happening, or they're trying to make it happen. I'm glad to say that in Britain, we're fighting back against this, and we've said that property rights have to be respected. In Australia, they're still not doing that, partly because the opposition has been rather ineffective. They haven't really made enough noise. They haven't stood up and opposed this. And nobody has provided the funds to allow people who have had their property effectively stolen from them.
And then later they give it to their buddies. This happened in Austin. They took 50,000 plus acres from the mid-90s on and then turned around and built on it. They took it from farmers. They just took it, Lord Monckton. And now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is happening all over America and all over the world, where corrupt local and national governments are helping themselves to private land in the name of the environment and then simply building on it, destroying whatever environment it had, and profiting mightily by robbing the people who previously owned it.
Well, that's what's sick. I've gone to smart growth conferences, and they just look at you when your camera's off and go, yeah, we know it's a scam, and laugh at you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're quite right. They know it's a scam, and that's the crucial thing. They know that this is simply a method of organized robbery of the by the rich bureaucrat and the bureaucratic class and the governing class.
Real fast, I want to have the caller in Canada. No, I've seen this. She went to the Bilderberg this year. Are Canadians aware you're about to go under the same land grab that just happened in Australia?
Unfortunately, most of us are oblivious. I'm filming a documentary. I'm trying to have a YouTube channel. I'm trying to inform people as best I can. But most people, they're such statists. They have they worship and grovel to government. It's quite pathetic here. They don't have the spirit of 1776. They don't have the spirit of liberty. They don't have this fire in their belly. It's quite pathetic. But what was going on before is there's also another bill that they're passing. Alison Redford is. She's talking about how basically they're doing a mass overbuild of power lines, which is going to raise the cost of energy here in Alberta, and it's a monopoly.
Yeah, giant scams. We'll be back with more calls. Yeah, these people are total criminals. They know exactly what they're doing. Lord Monckton, straight ahead.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, Obama's Axelrod has announced they want to try to pass a law restricting free speech. You can't make this up. The Department of Labor wants to ban children doing chores on farms. You know about that. Well, now they want to have people that report on the economy have to get government-issued computers. We talked about that earlier in the week. It's just so crazy. They're using Al-Qaeda to attack Syria. I'm not saying Assad's a good guy, but, I mean, I'm supposed to give my rights up because Al-Qaeda, and then now the NATO and folks are funding them. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is funding research into bracelets that track mental and emotional responses in school to make sure you're being brainwashed properly. Lou Rockwell's came out on the show yesterday. That video's up at Infowars.com. Ron Paul will not endorse Mitt Romney. It's also all mirrored at PrisonPlanet.com. And killer drones coming to a sky near you. And they're announcing their number one mission will be to enforce the environment. The spy satellites are not pointed at the Russians now. They're pointed at us. And they've got the Air Force drones enforcing your cows. If water runs off, any brown water into the local creek, giant fines, any hay dust, $2,000 a day fines. There's no law. They're just doing it. Lord Monckton, I'm going to rush through some calls in this final segment with you. But I've noticed in the UK, also in the EU, and I've seen the same thing, the announcements that drones and spy satellites are now watching the farmers. But not big agro, watching the small, endangered family farm. I noticed Stalin kicked people off the farms and tried to collectivize and kill tens of millions. Mao did it. He has the record. Our government says he killed 64 million. Chinese say 86 million. But whatever the case is, I know you've studied that and traveled the world. Why do the, quote, environmental fascist communist always want to get people off their land? For the earth, of course, and ban the Amish selling milk. I mean, why is there this attack on rural communities by the whatever you call these creatures?
They're jealous. That's what it is. They want the land, which is now occupied by the farmers. The best way to do that is to invent some fictional reason why the farmers ought to have to take it off them. And that's why they have these drones now flying around watching us. It's bad enough having Google Earth being able to see straight into your bathroom window. Now you've got these drones as well. So you need to wear a hoodie and a baseball cap at all times, even inside the house, then they can't see who you are. It's really, it's really got to the point now where you know, one would almost feel justified in shooting some of these drones down if they came over us. I mean, it's outrageous the way the authorities feel that they can treat the ordinary people with complete contempt. Now, I'm not advocating that you should actually shoot these drones down, but certainly I think it's now become a real worry that we have, for instance, in Britain, more surveillance cameras on every street corner than anyone else in the world. I told you on the last program that I had an Inland Revenue spy getting into my club the other day and asking me questions, and it was only halfway through the conversation that I realized who he was. This kind of game that's being played with the citizen by the authorities.
And these little secret police think we're all criminals. It's like a little mental illness they have, and they act like we're bad just because we want freedom, and they all think they're James Bond. Let's go to the calls. We've, again, got scienceofpublicpolicy.org, proprietor Lord Christopher Monckton, the third Viscount of Monckton and Brenchley on with us, leading fighter of these green tyrants. Let's talk to... who's been holding the longest here? John in Montana, mountain country. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. My question is, on Agenda 21, human rights and the future of formed governments in the world or in the United States, the use of semantics and legal interpretation and the government's theft of land and other items from the people. Can I have Lord Christopher Monckton speak on that, and then have you, Alex Jones, speak on the constitutionality of that?
Yes, right. Yes. Go ahead.
Let me go first on this. Your constitution, which I keep by me at all times, says that the supreme law of the United States is the Constitution, alongside the laws made by Congress and any treaty made by the Senate in accordance with the provisions in the Constitution. That, too, becomes your law. And this is where the danger is. Increasingly, what is happening is that presidents like President Obama, who tend to put everybody but America first, will agree to these treaties over and over again. Now, they realize they can't get them through the Senate because there are still senators who are willing to stand up for America. And as you know, a treaty shouldn't become a treaty unless the Senate says it should. But there's a kind of get-out clause which the Supreme Court has been using. It's been saying that even if the Senate doesn't make a treaty, but yet a particular international agreement is something which all nations ought to be taking part in, then even if the Senate hasn't voted for it, it's increasingly being treated in law as though it were.
Yes. Yes.
And this is a big problem. It means that one cannot merely hope that the people that you elect to defend you from precisely the kind of power grab that's going on by the governing class worldwide will actually be able to defend you from it, because the Supreme Court, as at present constituted, is beginning to overlook and overrule your constitution.
Lord Monckton, what do you call it in international law? I mean, I guess an oligarchy, where it's the bureaucracy, special corporate interests that are anti-free market, working as monopoly men, with an executive doing what it wants. I guess that's really fascism or an oligarchy, because now Obama says, I'm going to legalize the illegals, no law. I'm going to shut down the power plants. That's how we started the interview. And I mean, really, now everybody's calling him a dictator. But again, it's the special interests that run him. So the dictator, you know, the titular heads come and go, but they're bought and paid for by the same interest. I mean, how do you respond to something that lawless?
Well, what you do is there's a procedure in United States law, as there is in United Kingdom law, called application for judicial review of administrative action. And this means that any public servant who acts beyond his powers can be taken to court and made to behave, just as we took the Department of Education here in the UK to court because it didn't have the power to hand out Al Gore's propaganda movie, this mawkish sci-fi comedy horror movie of his. It didn't have the power to hand that out to schools because it was propaganda, and propaganda in schools in the UK is against the law. And we won the case, and therefore they had to send out 77 pages of corrective guidance to each school before the film could be shown there. And this really is the key thing. You need to find people who are wealthy enough to be able to fight cases on judicial review. So if Obama says he's going to have an amnesty for illegal immigrants, then he must go to Congress to get that. He cannot do that by executive order. And if he tries, then somebody should take him to court and say, no, you can't do that, however powerful you are. You have to abide by
exactly.
the law of that until Congress changes the law of the land. That's the way it works in a democracy. That's what your founding fathers had intended, and that's what you must insist on.
Very well said. Let's jump to some more calls.
Ministry of Action.
Let's talk to Lloyd in Florida, listening on the Big 810 AM, or number one there in Orlando on Agenda 21. You're on the air with Lord Monten. Go ahead.
Alex, I want to thank Lord Monten for his wonderful information that he's putting out, but I'd like you to put me on hold. I want to talk to you on a different subject when he finishes.
Okay, well, it said Agenda 21 right there, but you have a quick question for him, and I can come back to you later.
Just come back to me later, please.
Okay, it said Agenda 21 there on the screen. That's, we don't really screen your calls when we have a guest. It's a, let's go ahead and talk to Jeffrey in Colorado. You're on the air.
Jeffrey, well, you got that. Anyway, I just found you guys earlier this year, and thank God for your message and what you're doing, and that probably comes from those of us who care about America.
Well, brother, we're all in it together. Thank you. Do you have any questions for Lord Monten?
Yes, you're going to the summit. What I was wondering is there a possibility to be able to post the names of everybody involved in this massive takeover, and if or post their pictures, because you need to start taking an offense instead of a defense.
Well, that's quite a good idea, to name them and shame them, as I did to this Inland Revenue spy the other day, Dr. Paul McCallum. And that's a very good technique. And I think a lot of us who have access to the media should do this more often. We should name and shame those in the public authorities who overstep the bounds of their authority and go too far and try to set up these global governments. Now, of course, in practice, the only people who know who's going to Rio are the UN organizers, and they certainly won't give out the list to anyone. But one of the purposes in being there is that we can see which organizations are there, we can work out who is funding them, and then we have learned a trick from the left. We are now quietly talking to the funders of some of these big so-called charitable environmental organizations, which are in effect about the destruction of the planet, and we're saying, take your funding elsewhere. These people are crooks. You don't want to be associated with them when they eventually get exposed and go under.
And the funding is leaving them. And again, you call them the left. I know they identify themselves as that. I just see them as authoritarians posing as planet savers. I mean, because there are some people that associate, you know, the left with civil liberties, things like that, but you never really see that from them. I mean, do you think the left is the proper name for them?
Well, the left is the name for, traditionally in our politics, for the totalitarian faction. If you are a totalitarian, then you're on the left. The National Socialists in Germany, they were on the left. Hitler's fascists, they were on the left.
Stalin, Mao.
Stalin, Mao Zedong.
Fidel Castro.
Oh, yeah, all of these people, they are on the left. They are authoritarians. They're not authoritative, they're authoritarian.
I guess that is a point. I mean, most of the mass murderers claim they come from the left. Lord Monten, scienceandpublicpolicy.org. Look forward to having you and Mark Moreno from Climate Depot live from the conference next week. Thank you for going, and we'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to that, Alex, and God bless you, and as always, God bless America.
Thank you. We'll be right back with more calls. Stay with us and news. Time I walk back in the break room, we got televisions on, and it's Fox, CNN, whatever's on. Syria's murdering children. We've got to invade Syria, murdering children. Meanwhile, the globalists will kill 200 people to kill one supposed terrorist. And go, well, that's all right, but a child may have been killed. We've got to invade. And they'll level that country, put Al-Qaeda in charge. Did you hear me? They send the FBI in Austin, where I live, to people's houses if they go to anti-war protest. on video. People shoot video at their house, the FBI. We're just here to ask why you were at the anti-war protest, ma'am. Woman's there with her kids. She's like, are you joking? But then Al-Qaeda is running around working for the criminals that run our government. It's such a joke, and I'm already ranting. I want to go to your phone calls. Luke Radowski's coming up with a quick report about his two, I don't want to say confrontations with Rand Paul, but Rand Paul used to stop and talk to him. Now he's not talking to anybody. I tell you, it's wild. Going back to Lloyd in Florida, listening on 810 AM in Orlando, where we're on there live. Go ahead, sir. You had a question.
Alex, thank you very much for coming back to me. I want to tell you that you're booming in down here on 810 AM in Central Florida, coming in loud and clear.
Well, thank you.
Alex, I wanted to talk a little bit here about Robert Chapman. I won't take long. Bob is interned at the Glen Abbey Cemetery in Auburndale, Florida. And the cemetery is located at 2200 K Villa Avenue in Auburndale. And some of your listeners, I'm sure, would like to come and pay their respects to Bob. And Auburndale is located halfway between Orlando and Tampa, and it's 10 miles south of I-4. It's well marked on I-4, no problem to get there.
Yeah, we did link to the obituary put out by the funeral home, and I think it listed there where that is. And we're just really sad, again, that Bob passed. And you know, so suddenly, that's what pancreatic cancer does. That's what killed my great-uncle, who was a very nice man and a patriot as well. Yes, it would be good to go there. Was he cremated, or is it a gravestone?
No, he's located in the gray mausoleum, visible from the entrance when you go into the Glen Abbey Cemetery at 2200 K Villa Avenue in Auburndale. You will see the gray mausoleum to your left, and Bob's location faces the road. It's very easy to find, 10 steps from the car. And I just thank you so much, Alex, for allowing me to put out this information about a man that financially saved me and turned my life totally around.
He really was. Thank you. He really was a sweetheart. He had a very sweet heart. And I know that he just 10 hours a day, on top of all the stuff he'd radio and writing, would sit there on email writing to people, trying to help them and giving them his best advice. He really was a great guy, wasn't he?
God bless you and Robert Chapman for all that y'all have done for us.
Thank you so much for your words, sir. Yeah, every time I think about Bob, it makes me sad. We just expect to hear somebody's voice and get to talk to him. And I've been talking to him like 15 years, and then they're just gone. That's why you better appreciate everybody and every minute you got above ground, ladies and gentlemen. And if I ever pass that way again to Orlando, I am going to go see his gravesite. I need to go see my grandmother. She's not in the grave. I hadn't seen her in about a month. Months just go by like that now. They just bam, 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 bam. We've got to spend time with our families. Real quick call. Ronnie in Texas on Agenda 21. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Yes, sir. The Agenda 21 is... I'm sorry, I was wanting to get a kind of a flashcard to help convert the Agenda 21 delusionarians out there still on, I don't know, maybe using a search engine on, like, start page, on terms like Agenda 21, New World Order, predatory property pimps, more ideas. I was hoping to get Lord
Moncton's
ideas on that.
No, I hear you, Ronnie. I appreciate your call. Ronnie is a great activist down there every week at the city council. He was banned from the city council just for asking questions. We're going to go to break here. Speaking of Agenda 21, every city council needs this, and your purchase supports our broadcast. Also, the author, Rosa Corey. We have it discounted with a free citizen rule book and more at Infowars.com. Behind the green mask, you and Agenda 21, Rosa Corey. Great little 170-something page book with graphics and cartoons in it explaining how the globalists are taking over your towns, cities, and states. We're getting big traction against them. Every government official in your area, servant, needs a copy of this. It's available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide,
It's Alex Jones.
It certainly is. Joining us for about 10, 15 minutes is Luke Radowski. Then I will get to Baron, Richard, Martha, Christian, Doug, and others before this hour ends. I got some other tidbits of news. Now, Luke Radowski is independent media. We Are Change does a great job. There's hundreds and hundreds of chapters all over the world. I don't know, it looks like 25 or something now. Started out as a 9/11 activist in New York. They didn't want him talking about the New World Order, so he started his own group and has had a great effect. Now, he lives in D.C. now, and he goes and confronts these people every day. Lord Rothschild, the Rockefellers. I mean, it's amazing what he does, asking real questions very politely. And it's constantly making news and having a big effect and getting key information out. Now, he's interviewed Rand Paul many times. Rand will stop, talk about the New World Order as a senator, as a candidate as well, talk about Bilderberg being a threat. And again, Rand Paul overall is against the drones. He voted no on the NDAA, only one of seven senators. There's a lie out there that he voted for it. He's a friend. Ron Paul is absolutely awesome. Rand kind of going in a bad direction, but you know, whatever. We're just saying we don't like it. But Luke keeps running into him. And he's actually at a conference today. He ran into him yesterday. We're about to play a clip of that video. Ran into him again today. Ran went in and got a bunch of security guards. Looked very upset. That video's coming out. Here's a minute of it where Luke comes up and wants to talk to him. Here it is.
Hey, Senator Paul. My name is Luke of We Are Change. We had an interesting conversation before about the Bilderberg Group. And knowing what you know, how can you support Mitt Romney when The Guardian reported he was at the Bilderberg meeting?
The senator just got out of a meeting.
We're having a private conversation right now. You can make an appointment to stop by sometime.
I know it's a comfortable question. I know you know a lot about the Bilderberg Group. And we just want to know, why would you endorse? I know you're playing politics, but is politics really that dirty?
Okay, that's enough. He just acts like he's not there. Luke's interviewed him before. And then they follow him into the Senate area. Then they go in their private area and they stop. And then he ran into him again today. And, you know, the issue here is if I had to really go somewhere, I would at least say, I got to go somewhere. I can't really talk to you. But this is clear. They don't even brush him off with a quick answer. Even, you know, globalists will do that sometimes. I mean, I've seen Jay Rockefeller respond more than this. And so what I'm seeing here in the body language is that, well, Rand isn't very happy with the Patriot movement. We don't want to push Rand, and Luke isn't doing this, too far, because we may drive him right into the arms of the globalists, but that's still his fault if he does that. You know, you can't use threats to your family or whatever as an excuse to join the dark side. Rand still overall has a great voting record. We don't like the Mitt Romney thing, but again, it's really academic in the final equation. Luke Radowski, tell us what happened yesterday and now what happened today, the conference you're at right now, and what's happening there. Joining us via cell phone from D.C., Luke Radowski of WeAreChange.org.
Yeah, I was just running through the parking lot here trying to find Glenn Beck. Just got Glenn Beck, Newt Gingrich. I've been having a crazy time. I live in New York City, but I travel down to D.C. whenever I get, just tired of New York City and I want to do some work down
okay.
here.
Yeah, you had been living down there. I forgot, but go ahead.
Yeah, have been living down there, and we decided, you know, to talk to Mr. Rand Paul, and we were in the Senate building. We saw him coming out. As soon as we saw him coming out, I just politely walked up to him. I mean, I've talked to other senators who granted me interviews and were talking to me and were more open, and I just wanted to politely talk to him about his Mitt Romney, Bilderberg, Goldman Sachs endorsement, which doesn't make much sense to me knowing what Rand Paul knows. And I was trying to be as polite as I could, and I just tried to have a conversation with him. And he was doing everything in his power not to talk to me. And then, you know, when he ignored me, I got Abby Martin of Media Roots to come with me. We went inside the Senate building. We saw Rand Paul walking right towards us. I gave Abby the mic, and then you could see what happened from there on the YouTube video. Today, we're at this conference. Rand Paul was here. We were at the secret entrance where all the speakers were coming in and out of. Now, Rand Paul came out, and he saw me, and he quickly ran back inside. And now his staffer, that blonde lady that was with him, was running around. They got about 10 security guards to be around him. He usually walks around with himself and his aide, that blonde lady. But now he got 10 security guards. They're all pointing to me, looking at me. And I'm like, I just want to, you know, have a conversation with this guy. And they even closed off the public book signing into a private room. They have to change the book signing. I mean, Glenn Beck does it in the public area. They made it into a private area because of Rand's request. Even when he was walking with, you know, a lot of security guards around him, I still got the mic in there. And I was like, you know, how do you support Mitt Romney's, since you're going to be campaigning for Mitt Romney, as you said, I asked him, you know, where do you stand with him on the NDAA, on ending the private Federal Reserve and his foreign policy with Iran? And then again, he did the same thing. He just didn't answer, even though the mic was right next to him. I was right next to him with all these security guards pushing me. All I'm trying to do is open the dialogue because, you know, this is very weird, and we're just trying to have a conversation. We're just trying to understand what everything is happening.
Well, you're right, and we're showing some of this footage while you talk for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, for radio listeners. We just posted the video at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. It's also on the We Are Change YouTube account that's so prolific. We've got to have you back soon on Skype just to go through the Lord Rothschild confrontation, which is amazing, the Ted Turner, all of it. I mean, you guys are on fire. I mean, back in the old days when I could front Janet Reno or other globalists really pioneering, just asking them a real question and watching them all collapse, I could never imagine it would become so prolific and to watch you trailblaze. Others are obviously following suit. And it's got
that's what we want. Yeah, we want other people to do this because that's how we're safer. That's how we get the truth out. You can only have allegiance to the truth. And if it could be destroyed by the truth, it should be. And that's our major philosophy here at We Are Change. We're just trying to open up the dialogue, find out what's going on. We had an awesome last 3 days. All the videos will be up on YouTube.com/We Are Change. I mean, we just got Glenn Beck. We just got Newt Gingrich.
Tell us what happened. I want to go through Glenn Beck and Gingrich, you know, audibly as a reporter, what happened before we see the video breaking that here. But I got to say, watching his body language, knowing Rand Paul, you know, interviewing him back when he was the only guy that would do interviews for his dad over 10 years ago. I think it's well over 10 years. I remember interviewing him like in 98 or something. You know, sending crews out to interview him in Austin, talking to him off air. And now his whole body language has shifted in the last few months. I think they may have offered him the VP, or he's told he's in the running, because he acts like a man on a mission. And he says, it's very honored. I'm a guy from a small town. You know, I mean, I think he's been offered it. Now he's gone from there were no secret meetings to, oh, I don't think there were really any meetings. I'm seeing everything change. The office says the same thing. And again, I'm not saying Rand's a bad guy, but he's really changed. What do you say to that, Luke?
The only way to really find out the truth is to walk up to him and to have a conversation and to have a dialogue. When he doesn't say anything, and when he knowingly ignores you when you are as nice as you can, that's when we should be worried. And I am worried, and that's why I'm trying to make an effort to talk to him, to understand what he's been doing. And I hope other people take charge and other people take responsibility, and instead of just calling him names and you know, throwing negativity at him, they should walk up to him and have a conversation and find out what's going on and share it with the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, our listeners are everywhere, and Rand's come on and said, oh, the InfoWars people are everywhere. Oh, I love them. So everybody should be polite about it.
Rand even told me he learned about the Bilderberg group through you. I had a long conversation with him right before he became a senator. That YouTube video was out just last week. Right when he announced the Mitt Romney.
Yeah, see, I've been so busy, I didn't even watch the whole thing. We played a clip on the news of him saying, yeah, Bilderberg should be investigated. You're saying in that same video, he says he learned it from us?
Yeah, we have a whole long, it should be up there. But we had a whole longer dialogue with him about...
Yeah, what's the name of that video? I'll play it on the nightly news tonight. I mean, I know it's...
What's the video, the Rand Paul name? The new one? No, the other one, the new one. What's the name of it? It was Rand Paul.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I've had private conversations with Rand. I mean, he really hates the New World Order. I don't want to say intuition or whatever, but... I mean, I just feel like they've got something on him, and they're using... I don't... Whether it's threats or... I mean, my gut tells me... I mean, the point is that I think they've really dug into things, and I think they're blackmailing him or something. I mean, I have no proof of that. My gut tells me he doesn't even look like he's on a power trip. He looks freaked out. He looks like he's been given an offer he can't refuse, and I'm good at gauging body language. My instincts, my subconscious is powerful, my discernment. I mean, that's what my gut tells me. So that's why we shouldn't attack Rand. I got hurt at first. I don't think he's bad. He's still an ally. My gut this morning was, if we really keep going after him, though, and I'm not saying you're doing that, Luke. I'm saying all of us, you know, too meanly, I think we're going to make him join the dark side. What do you say, Luke?
I don't agree with it just attacking anybody negatively. There's always a good way to find out exactly what's happening, and that's to try to be, to try to open that dialogue. That last video that you told me about, it's called Rand Paul Before Endorsing Romney on Bilderberg and Goldman Sachs. That's the video. That's the YouTube.
Okay, channel. Rand Paul Before Endorsing Romney. Yeah, we linked to it on the site, but I only had time to watch the excerpt of it. I wish I could watch all this stuff. I'm so busy, but we'll play that tonight. So he said, I woke him up to Bilderberg, and so he knows who you are. You've interviewed him and now he runs from you.
Exactly. It's pretty sad, because he could have just opened up and explained himself and had a rational conversation with me. You know, even if we disagreed, I mean, even Dan Jones.
Or he could say, hey, come back tomorrow at this time. Or, hey, you know, look, he has that classic politician running from somebody.
His secretary said, let's set up an appointment, but they never do. I've been working, the Senate beat here for a while, and I've tried to make appointments with Senator. They never ever will get back to you. They never ever will request an interview, especially when they know exactly when you're talking about real important issues like the Bilderberg Group.
You talked to him the other day, or We Are Change did up in Illinois, and he said no comment. At first he's talking to him and they go, Bilderberg, Romney. He's like, no comment, bam, starts walking fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's just pretty sad, and that leaves a lot more questions than answers. But, we should just concentrate on the truth. Don't worry about individuals or campaigns or different people. What matters is you. The only change that will really happen comes from the bottom, comes from the grassroots. That's you listening right now, and we can't be discouraged. We have to be encouraged to step up.
I heartily agree. Luke, tell me about what happened with Glenn Beck. I got to hear this.
Yeah, Glenn Beck, he has so much security around him. He has more security than Secret Service around him. They're sneaking him around the back area so nobody...
No, I've seen this guy with like 20 security before, just going to literally talk to 300 people because he couldn't fill the six flags. I saw long footage. I think you shot it. And he had like 20 security with him to go speak to a couple hundred people at Six Flags in a multi-thousand arena. It was like 300 showed up because they can't pay for the $200 tickets. And, I mean, I can go have thousands show up at my events. I can go stand in the middle of thousands of people, no bodyguards, no nothing. I mean, what is this living in total fear, or is having all the security like your entourage, like your pimp game?
Yeah, I have no idea, but when he came around the secret area that they had everything fenced off, and when they had everything fenced off, I was able to get a question as he was walking. I was like, hey, you used my Cass Sunstein video in your TV report. I was like, do you remember that? He was like, yeah. I was like, I'm the guy who confronted Cass Sunstein. He was like, yeah, I know you. And I was like, yeah, you didn't accredit me, but that's fine. And I want to really know, why don't you take the Bilderberg Group seriously when the chief member, David Yon, admitted that they created the euro? And then he was looking at me, turned away, and just totally ignored me. And then security jumped on me and started putting their hands on me and started...
How dare you talk to a god through the barricade? How dare you, when he used your footage and didn't give you credit, try to talk to a god? And I don't get why they think it's elitist to be wimpy and not even effeminate, because women aren't wimps like this. These metrosexual, cowardly little, and then as soon as you like go and act cowardly, the system rolls out a red carpet. I mean, they're legends. I mean, my website's dwarf Glenn Beck. Our radio audience will be bigger than his on a current growth rate in about a year. I mean, he's literally, we're bigger than Glenn Beck worldwide. But the system tried to set him up as big. The Drudge Report's probably 20 times in the metrics bigger than all of his sites combined. You don't see Drudge running around, like he's the king of the earth. I mean, Glenn Beck is, and he rips all our material and research off and never gives any of us credit.
It's ridiculous, and that's why we need to talk to him. But he's making sure nobody gets near him. He's making sure nobody even gets very close to him at all. I mean, the way they're escorting him around, they literally went all out. No one has barely seen him. He went on stage, and he's all in these secret back areas. I'm in the parking lot right now just trying to find him walking around, to be honest with you, because, we have to be persistent here. And the more persistent we are, the more these people will recognize.
What is this event that Rand and Gingrich and Becky are hanging out at?
this is the Faith and Freedom Summit here in Washington, D.C., and they're pretty much talking about Bush tax cuts and Christianity on the most part here. And that's where all these wigs are coming in. You know, RSVP'd. I'm here as official press. I'm here covering the event. I'm here trying to talk to them. And I'm just trying to be as persistent as I could be because you have to be. I mean, even Van Jones, the first time I talked to him, he called security and the cops on me for asking him a question. The second time, he pushed me and started running away, even though we chased him down.
The wicked flee when none pursue.
Yep.
You're like, hi, I have questions. Ah! I got one that can see. I got one that can see.
What happened a couple days ago that was amazing is I walked into a conference where Van Jones was speaking. He started sweating. He started getting nervous. I, again, asked him a question during the Q&A. I, again, walked up to him, and he, you know, manned up, and he actually had a conversation with me, which was pretty amazing because he realized, you know, I'm not going to stop asking these questions. We can't. We all have to do this. We all have to be a part of this. And it's just an amazing feeling being able to speak truth to power. It's one of the most incredible rushes you will ever get in your life, and I highly recommend everybody take part, be the change you want.
Absolutely, and find out how afraid they are when they're doing wrong, how they absolutely just run from the camera like it's the end of the world. Luke Radowski, great job, and we'll definitely get that clip of Rand. I saw the part where he said investigate Bilderberg, but I hadn't seen the full clip where Alex woke me up to Bilderberg. And now, I mean, I know his staffers and everybody tell him don't come on the show. I know they tell Ron Paul that. I don't even care if you guys come on the show. That's fine with me. I think we might try to get them on just to see what they do. But there's definitely been a big shift with those guys, and it's very, very sad. But overall, I mean, why has Ron Paul been so quiet the last week and a half? I mean, everybody's talking about this, Luke.
I mean, it's very important, and, you know, he has been quiet. It is very worrisome. We don't know what's going on until, you know, I'm going to stay here in D.C. for a little bit. I'm going to keep trying to ask him more questions. I mean, I want to get to the bottom of everything, and the only way to do it is...
Yeah, I would say, hey, act like a human. You don't become a plastic person. Why would you talk to me before, and now you run in fear? Why do you want 10 security, Rand, to put their hands on me, because I'm just going to walk 5 feet from you and ask you a question?
Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't intimidate me. It's just sad that someone like Jay Rockefeller gives me more of an answer and more of a dialogue than Rand Paul.
Well, he said, you got a lot of nerve, kid. I ought to give you a job. Whenever you said, hey, your family ran the Nazis. Great job, Luke. We're going to come back, take some more phone calls. Stay with us. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com, WeAreChange.org is Luke's site. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I think we should all pray for Rand Paul to not fully turn to the neocon side, because Ron Paul has done such incredible work. Rand has done incredible work. There's definitely a big change happening. There's definitely Romney worship going on. And I guess people get blinded by their hate of Obama. Then, I mean, Mitt Romney is basically Obama. He's not even Obama light. But in the final equation, this doesn't even really matter. We spent a lot of time on Rand Paul, and I'm kind of getting it out of my system. Let's go to a phone call here. Let's talk to Baron in Alabama. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks, Alex. Before I get to the question I had for Lord Monckton, I just wanted to respond to something you said earlier about not knowing what to call this new form of global government. Because it's really unlike anything we've ever seen in history. I think it's a WTFocracy in the spirit of my website, WTFROY.com. You know, because that once you put all this stuff together, that's really the only logical reaction that a thinking person can have.
Well, what it is, I know what it is. It's a global corporate-directed eugenics-based government that is just governed by absolute vicious behavior. I appreciate your point, sir. Let's talk to Doug in Santa Cruz, listening on XM 166. Go ahead, Doug. You're on the air.
Also, your favorite KSEO station as well here with MZ. I wanted to compliment you on the piece that I saw last night on this radioactive dump in Austin that you were reporting on. That was, I thought, incredible.
Well, again, we have the great-grandfather who was the head of all the maintenance at UT and operations. telling his great-grandson that. We know about the reactors. We know that famously that's where they would hide stuff is outside town. And so we're investigating it. We're investigating the cave system right now. But I think it's pretty darn credible. The report is breaking massive nuclear secrets uncovered in Austin. Because the fact is they've had a rail gun blow up 4 days ago. There's a bunch of other weirdness going on.
And I wanted to compliment you on that. I called in before about the weaponization of water. I think Jeff Smith was on. This was actually it was July 5th. But one thing, Alex, in 1968, as a sophomore at Stanford, I took a drive down to a place called Wickenburg, Arizona, which was a former Japanese relocation center that was in the Black Panther papers supposed to have been changed into a kind of a latter-day FEMA center. That's what it would have been then for political dissidents. So these themes are not happening for the first time. That was before you were born.
There's always been a COG system. The thing is they're expanding it massively. I'd say it's 10 times what it was in the 50s now. I mean, they've really built it up.
60s during the Vietnam War when there was political dissidence like there is now because of outrageous behavior by our elected leaders. You might be familiar with Mae Brussels, and she was very prominent then.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because just because they've built all this doesn't mean they're going to use it. It's a struggle between the evil track of history, the good track of history. Everything we do, it's a battle. That's why they want you to think it's a foregone conclusion. We could back all this off.
You're the cycle of history, but we need people like you. Now, referring back to history, I think, is very important. People were leveling, National Guard was leveling off guns with this political distance because of war. In 1981, Bank of America was paying me 23% on jumbo CDs, because that was with no national debt. But what I'm going to end with, Alex, and compliment you, is don't lose humor. Humor and tragedy are so closely entwined. I have not heard hands down the pants, pointy toes, naked chimpanzee, man pay.
Sir, you still there? I didn't cut you off.
I thought you cut me off. Yes, that's important. Don't lose your humor. You're a comedic genius. In addition to being very insightful and
brilliant. I don't know about being a comedic genius, but I guess a blind hog does find acorns occasionally. Thanks a lot, brother. Out of time. Sorry to other folks. More coming up in the retransmission and on the streams at Infowars.com and big nightly news tonight, 7 o'clock, PrisonPlanet.tv, and back Sunday, 4 to 6.
Thank you for
4 to 6 Central.
TCN.
4 to 6 Central
TCNLive.com
this Sunday.
TCNLive.com today.